everybody, and welcome to this week's Pitching In NPL show. I'm your host, Ben, and coming up on this week's show, later, we're going to be joined by Mr. Andrew Simpson, non-league reporter from Cheshire, to help us preview Tuesday night's matches in the first round of the FA Trophy. And speaking of the FA Trophy, we're also going to be catching up with three managers hoping for a bit of a giant killing on Tuesday evening. We're going to be joined by the management at City of Liverpool, at Marsh United and at Runcorn Linnets. But before that, there is really only one place we can start the show.
Barragan with the free kick. Oh, and Raven was there, and then beyond him a chance. And it's turned, is it? It is! Would you believe it? Right at the death! Marine have their big moment. Cummins wheels away. The dream of the third round might yet come true for the mighty Mariners.
Fifty-eight
is Marine, just the second eighth-tier side ever to reach the third round. What a story they are. You've drawn them at home as well.
My friend Paddy McKeown is a massive Marine fan. Come on. 39.
Tottenham Hotspur. The Premier League leaders out the hat to play Marine. What a tie that is.
What a tie that is indeed. Marine taking on Tottenham in January of 2021 in the third round. And for more on this, and generally just to catch up about what the mood's like at the moment at Marine, on Friday night, I caught up with the head of media at Marine. It's a welcome to the show to Ralph Rans. Ralph, a big thank you for joining us. And, well, have you calmed down yet?
Just about, Ben. It's been an exciting few weeks, really. Certainly a roller coaster journey since probably the Nantwich game in the third qualifying round. And obviously then Chester, great away win there. Fantastic win on penalties at Colchester United, of course. And then, obviously, last Sunday, beating Havant due to Niall Cummins' last-minute winner in extra time.
We'll get to the game that's coming up in a second, but I do want to go back to that now, Cummins' goal, because right at the death of extra time as well, isn't it? I mean, he's been such a servant for the club. That's got to be the cherry on the cake, hasn't it? He'll never top that unless he scores against Tottenham.
No, absolutely. Niall was interviewed after the game and I was party to that, and he actually was asked the question, is that the most important goal you've ever scored? Obviously, Niall scored plenty around non-league for the likes of Burscough and Kurz Nashton, of course, before he joined ourselves. But Niall stated absolutely that was the goal of his career. And yeah, a tremendous moment, as you say, Ben. It was right at the death. There was a couple of minutes of injury time played afterwards, but really that was effectively the last kick.
And as we all know, for those people who've been to Marine's ground, you're good neighbours. There's plenty of people there being able to watch the game. It was behind closed doors, but a good atmosphere created from people's back gardens and stuff, which is great as well.
Yeah, it was. There were a few sort of hanging out of trees and up temporary sheds and this kind of thing, which I know the BT Sport coverage focused on. But it was great to see in a way. Also, obviously, it was behind closed doors, but there were a number of committee members and, of course, the media inside the ground. So there was certainly plenty of noise from a few of us when Niall scored the winner, of course.
So that then takes us to the draw, and we all know what's happened since. And what's the reaction, you know, with yourself, Neil, the rest of the committee? I mean, what's the mood in the camp like after drawing home to Tottenham?
Well, obviously, when the draw was made on Monday, and Bobby Savage took a dramatic pause before pulling number 39 out of the bag. Our reaction, of course, was an immense moment for the club. Obviously, only the second time we've reached the third round stage of the FA Cup. Last time, 28 years ago, we played Crewe Alexandra away, which probably wasn't obviously the draw we were hoping for when you get through to the third round. But obviously, Monday's draw has more than made up for that, and it's going to be an occasion to remember for everyone connected with the club. At the moment, of course, we are waiting on match arrangements in terms of possible TV coverage and obviously numbers of fans that we'll be able to allow inside the ground. If, fingers crossed, we are able to hold it at the Marine Travel Arena or Rossett Park, as some listeners may know it. So yeah, fingers crossed. There's an absolute buzz, of course, around the club. Neil and the players, really, their achievements this season have been absolutely magnificent. Only the second team, I believe, from the eighth tier to reach this stage now, the other being Chasetown. And it's really testament to the talent of the squad and the hard work that they've been able to beat, I think it's four teams now from higher divisions.
And, I mean, it's a fantastic story. And given the backdrop as well, the year we're all having, and especially the year that our section of non-league football is having as well, what does it mean for Marine as a football club, given everything else that's going on in the wider non-league world at the moment?
Yeah, as you say, and it's been a terrible year, of course, for everyone, particularly hard for non-league clubs around our level. And within the NPL, for instance, our bars have been closed, you know, for 90% of the year. A massive loss in income in terms of functions and bar sales, of course. And we realise that will be the same for many of our colleagues and friends at our level. So obviously, the cup run itself and the prize monies and the TV fees from the last couple of games have been an absolute godsend to the club. No doubt about it, and obviously for the future, with some sensible financial decisions and planning, we're hoping that obviously this will set us up and help us push on to the level of football we as a committee and as a club we think we should be operating at. I think that's really the sort of medium term goal.
The short term goal, though, because we obviously talked about the FA Cup here, and it's, like I said, it's an amazing achievement and a big game coming up down the track, but before that, you're going to be welcoming fans back, I'm assuming, on Tuesday night for this FA Trophy game against Hyde.
We are, that's correct, Ben. We limited to 400, but I know that as of last night, we'd sold, I think it was about 320 tickets, so I'd assume they've all gone today. So, yeah, again, another hugely important game coming up on Tuesday. It'll be great to have fans back in the stadium, of course. Many, many years since we reached, obviously, both the first round proper in both FA competitions. So, yeah, great game to look forward to.
Yes, absolutely. And how much are you looking forward to having the fans back as well? And, you know, it's the FA Trophy, because the league's been suspended and it's going to be suspended for another couple of weeks at least, the FA Trophy really is the only show in town at the moment. So it's got added importance.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, as I say, the short space of time in which the tickets have been snapped up for Tuesday's game probably illustrates that. Obviously, we're all looking forward to having supporters back in the ground, albeit socially distanced. I'm sure the players will appreciate it in terms of a great atmosphere being created. Unfortunate, of course, that we won't be able to have hired fans at Tuesday's game, obviously due to the tier restrictions. But yeah, certainly we're all looking forward to getting back towards some kind of normality in terms of spectators being admitted.
Well, Ralph, just before you go, just a final thought as well, because obviously you cover the media side of the club. I listened to the radio commentary on the YouTube channel of the earlier rounds. You're going to be busy, aren't you? over the next month or so. So, I mean, just a quick plug for all the media outlets at the club and that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been, as I say, it's been an incredibly busy time for everyone at the club. Since Monday's draw, of course, we're all very much under the cosh in terms of the administration and the logistical challenges around trying to host the Spurs game. But an incredibly exciting time. I have to give my thanks to our excellent media team, Tom Clark in particular, who's our social media guru, and David Williams, who is our match analyst and films all our games for us. I think our social media output since Tom and David have been involved with us for the last couple of seasons has been enhanced tremendously. And obviously, those guys are under the cosh, as I say, as well as the rest of us at the moment. You know, we've been inundated with media requests since Monday's draw. But it's testament to both Tom and David that they're able to cope with that. And as I say, our social media output, I think, has been really tremendous. Given that fans can't attend games, it's taken on increased importance. And the guys have done fantastically well.
Right, they're not the only ones at the club. It's been great following. And like I said to you, off-air, you know, we had Neil on pretty much every week for the past couple of months now. It's been a great run that Marine's been on. And we'll catch up with Neil again before the Tottenham game, but keep up the good work, Ralph, and all the best for Tuesday night's game as well.
Thanks very much, Ben. Been a pleasure. Thank you.
Ralph Rans there joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. And as we were discussing there, it's now time to draw our eyes to this weekend's matches. Sorry, not this weekend. What am I talking about? Tuesday night's matches in the first round of the FA Trophy. And joining me now hand in hand to preview Tuesday night's games, we're now joined by the welcome return of Cheshire Non-League writer, wonderful human being, Mr. Andrew Simpson, everyone.
In that order as well.
Yeah, it's true. as well as Simo, the legend that is Simo, we're also going to be joined by Michael Ellison, shortly City and Liverpool manager, Cal Jarrett at Marsh United, and Callum McIntyre at Runcorn Lane. It's all to talk about Tuesday night in the FA Trophy. Simo, before we get to that, just a quick word on Marine. They're playing Hyde United on Tuesday in the FA Trophy. They're also playing Tottenham Hotspur in a few weeks' time as well. Quite remarkable, isn't it?
I mean, they're probably still pinching themselves now, aren't they? I mean, I think I made the point in a couple of the preview editions. It was like a once-in-a-generation thing for Marine to get to the first round. It was such a big... to get to the first and the second round. Such a big, big thing. And then this is like once in a lifetime, isn't it? To then draw a Premier League team at home. And so, just drink it in. Just drink it in, guys. Enjoy every moment that's coming your way in the next few weeks. Because it just, you know, law of probability, it's likely never to happen again for a long, long time. But yeah, brilliant, brilliant for Marine. I think what's really, really lovely about this story, and you've seen a lot of this on social media, is those of us who follow the league and have covered games there and visited Crosby time and again over the years, we know what a cracking club it is. But it's been so nice to read the warmth towards Marine from all corners of the country. You know, teams who are getting in touch saying, "Oh yeah, we love playing you in a friendly a couple of years ago," and things like that. It's just so. I think it's just nice when good things happen to good people, and that's what I like about this story. And so it does have a little bit extra because it's a club that is popular. People around the league like them, and of course, us on the NPL show wish them well as well. But more on that, I'm sure, in the coming weeks.
Yes, absolutely. And just a mention for that game against Hyde United, jumping the queue, Marine here in the fixture preview, but we might as well cover them off now. They've got match sharpness on their side, but they have got this big gaming spotlight heading their way down the track. So how do you think Neil Young's side is going to take to this one?
Well, we were just saying off air that Marine, if they were to be eliminated by Hyde, their next competitive game might be that FA Cup tie, although they will be allowed to play friendlies in between. So it's quite, there's a kind of incentive to maybe, to get through, have another competitive game next week, keep that sharpness going. And there, it's a stark contrast to Hyde, whose season has not been able really to gather any momentum because they were one of the clubs in the Premier Division that had one of the 2 week shutdowns in October. So have only recently kind of got back into playing, and then the season stopped again. They did have enough time to squeeze in a win against Frickley in the previous round, but they're undercooked anyway. And then they've obviously had a month off. So the recurring theme through today's episode will be it's very difficult to predict what you're going to get from anybody after a month's pause. But Hyde, yeah, even more so in their case because they've not played much football anyway.
And with that regard, just before we get to the actual matches on Tuesday, I did stumble into this by saying, oh, this weekend's matches. There are no matches this weekend. We've heard the statement on Thursday. It's not ideal, the situation that Step Three and Below finds itself. We just hope that the right people are listening.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in terms of the decision that was made, and I've spoken to people this morning, I think it's the right decision. I think it was probably, and we have to be realistic, the only decision that was open to them at this moment in time. Too many teams are in Tier 3 in the Northern Premier League, which will set them apart slightly from the other Trident leagues. The Isthmian and Southern are slightly different. They've got fewer teams in those Tier 3 areas. But You know, I was talking to John Salmon, the chairman at Witton this morning, and he was making the point that even in Tier 2, which Northwich is, the restrictions that are on them to host a game, they're highly unlikely to be able to open the bar or the tea or to sell food and drink on Tuesday when they play. I'll come on to them shortly. So it's very difficult, even when you've got slightly lighter restrictions, to make it viable to open the turnstile. So I wasn't surprised at the outcome of the vote. You hope that in another couple of weeks' time, when the government comes to review the situation, that the direction of travel in the broader country makes it a little bit easier to kind of lessen those restrictions. But I do wonder whether that might come too soon, and we may have to wait now till January. And I hope that's not the case, but I think you have to be realistic. And the only thing I would add is, and I did say this on social media last night, there is a frustration on a personal level, but also from people I speak to, that there still seems to be this lack of understanding from the people who are making decisions. And I'm not having a go at the league, I'm talking about broadly in the government, that they don't seem to still grasp the business model of clubs at this level, saying it's okay to play games again, but then saying, oh, you can't have secondary spend in the stadium, is why it's been such an issue in terms of, well, we can't really justify hosting games. And until there's kind of a sobering up as to what challenges are presented to clubs at this level and where they get their money from, obviously attendance is help, but it isn't just that, then I think we're going to have this stalemate. And it's a real problem, because you've got clubs at step two, obviously, step two and step one in the National League have obviously had access to support because they've been playing behind closed doors. And we've got a slightly kind of problem with the level playing field now, in that some nervous Northern Premier League clubs are clubs who are being subsidised higher up the pyramid, going to come and nick our players now. And that's going to be something that's to keep an eye on. And again, from a conversation this morning, a very real concern that clubs have. So watch this space on that one.
It's an unfair situation, because, you know, there's clubs in the National League North who get much lower attendances, who are being subsidised, and essentially, you know, they've got a bit more money to spend. And as they're playing, you know, they're going to want to bolster their squads. And, you know, there's the NPL with their playing squads who aren't playing. So it's a very tricky situation. But you'd expect, you know, given the broad mix of clubs at step three, you know, not just in our league, but across the country, there'd be a fair few MPs who have clubs who are affected by this, who, you know, at the moment, I've seen one from the MP up in the northeast, Jarrow's MP, yeah. But that's it. I've not seen anything else, any noises being made. So
no, and maybe that's on us a bit. I mean, since John made that point to me this morning, you know, have we kind of lobbied our own? When I say our, I mean the MPL clubs. Have we done enough to lobby our own MPs to raise it? I mean, the National League in the end was quite successful in getting it mentioned and raised in Parliament. I think non-league football has been raised in Parliament, but I think that the problem we have, it's a blessing and a curse. We're so consumed in it week by week that we understand the nuance between National League system, grassroots, elite, non-elite. And where, again, there's some frustration on my part is that because we understand the kind of intricacies of it, we maybe sometimes fall into the trap of thinking other people do. And I do wonder whether in the government and the Department for Culture, Media and Sport, whether there is still that kind of, has it been communicated? Are they still grasping what those nuances are? Because what they mean by grassroots is sometimes different by what we mean by grassroots. And I do think there's been a disconnect there, and we maybe need to get a little bit better at who we target our case at. But yeah, let's, you know, we've got to keep going, we've got to keep lobbying, we've got to keep making that case and not give up, because it is a serious situation.
To be fair, you can't be the Secretary of State for Digital, Culture, Media and Sport and not listen to the MPL show. I mean, what are you doing with your time, really?
I think that's a very good point, actually.
You know, be across your portfolio, mate. Anyway, right, so just to say, we're aware that there's bigger issues in the world at the moment, and
yeah,
that, but
of course,
this is the MPL show, so that's our avenue there of covering the lockdown and season suspension carrying on, to be reviewed in a couple of weeks' time. So hopefully we'll have more information at that point. But, Simo, enough beating around the bush. Let's talk about the first round of the FA Trophy. Take your place. Some games behind closed doors, some games actually with an audience. Remarkable. Kick things off alphabetically. taking each other on for the 15th time this season. Aston United against South Shields. Thoughts?
Are they this season's FC United v Radcliffe?
Yes.
I think, you know, I mean, I don't know about the rumours, whether the rumours are true that South Shields are getting their mail redirected to Hurst Cross. I don't know. I can't comment on that. I mean, I did wonder, like, they kind of would have groaned when the draw came out, but they've done all right down on Thames Tide, haven't they? They came from behind to get that 3-3 draw in the league, and then they had a brilliant 4-0 win in the FA Cup. So maybe it's Ashton that kind of groaned more when the draw came out. You're going to hear me say this a lot today, kind of how much we can read into form, I'm not so sure. But South Shields were kind of clicking into gear, weren't they, before the pause? I know they lost in the FA Cup at Cheltenham, but they gave a good account of themselves and had been unbeaten in 5 games before that and keeping lots of clean sheets. So they were just ominously kind of climbing the table and quietly getting into a groove. I think you'll flip the coin. And I remember watching Michael Clegg's interview after Ashton had lost 2-0 at Whitby in their final game before the pause. And he was pretty fed up, kind of cut a pretty fed up figure of, you know, had not been able to get consistent selection. A bit of a messy start to the season for Ashton. And I very much sensed that frustration from him from watching that clip. So maybe they are one of the ones that were kind of like, okay, let's regroup. Let's get people back from injury. Let's kind of just enjoy this breather. So it will be interesting to see what we get from them, because they've not kind of delivered yet what we were expecting from them.
It's interesting what you said. You reminded me of something. I was at IKEA in Ashton a couple of weeks ago. I'm sure I saw Graham Fenton from a distance in there. So I don't think he's gone back. I feel like
spotted.
He stayed the same side. anyway, that was just a joke. I didn't really see Graham Fenton in IKEA. Just to say, he might have been there, but
it was Wicks.
Yeah, Basford United against Rushall Olympic, our old friends Rushall, travelling to Nottinghamshire. What's your take on this? Because Basford were starting to move a bit, weren't they?
I think this is really tasty. I mean, Basford had won 6 successive matches before the pause, and they'd really started to gather momentum. You'd spoke to Steve Chettle a couple of times, and obviously he was a very happy man. They were looking nice and solid defensively, and then were converting at the other end as well, with Marcus Marshall kind of returning to fitness after injury. This is going to be a tricky game for them, though. Rushall are doing very nicely indeed in the Southern Premier League, Southern Premier Central, although they did lose to Grantham in the FA Cup, so have lost to a Northern Premier League opponent earlier this season in a knockout competition. But of the games we're going to go through, I think this is one of the picks of the bunch.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's welcome our next guest to the show, Buxton against City of Liverpool. We'll get Simo's thoughts in a second. Is there going to be a giant killing at Silverlands? But before that, let's hear from the manager at City of Liverpool. It's a welcome back to the show to Michael Ellison. Michael, big thank you for joining us. Just before we get to Tuesday night's game in the FA Trophy, just a bit of a catch-up, really. How are you settling in as manager at City of Liverpool and in these trying times?
Really well, considering the circumstances we're in. You know, it's a tough time at the minute, but I'm just glad to be back involved in football, to be honest with you. Yeah, I had a little break, and then I was starting to get itchy feet. And then when the opportunity came, I jumped at it, to be honest.
It's a bit of a special club as well, City Liverpool. When I've spoken to the chairman in the past, you know, the ethos of the club and that kind of thing, and the fans, you know, how vocal they are. I mean, was it a bit of a no-brainer, really?
Yes, it's a no-brainer. You say that for the relatively short amount of time they've been up and running to where they are now is, you know, it's fantastic what they've done behind the scenes, the promotion they've had. So, yeah, it's a club going in the right direction. It's a club that, you know, that suits me. I think it was a good fit at the time for the club and myself. Like I say, passionate fans, you know, really, really good numbers. And, yeah, going in the right direction. So it was certainly a no-brainer when the opportunity came. Like I said, I jumped at it.
And then, unfortunately, we had season suspension. So how difficult has this whole period been for yourself? Because, you know, you're hitting the ground running. The results did take a bit of an upturn as well, didn't they?
Yeah.
And then you hit this roadblock, essentially.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, we're in that transition period. So we had a really good start when we took our first game in charge against Brighouse. You know, I think we've had 5 games now. We only lost one. Won 3, drew 1. And one of those was against really good result in the trophy. But yeah, it's tough because you just sort of get into the stage where you think, you know, lads are getting on, taking on board what you want, and then another break in the season, which is, you don't even think it's the same for everybody. You know, we had a friendly on Wednesday night and you could see we hadn't played for a number of weeks, so it's just a case of, you know, who knows when we're going to come back, the uncertainty, but we just got to work with it and, you know, do the best we can.
So heading back, there's easier games to return to. Buxton away in the FA Trophy. I mean, it's a question I ask all managers about the FA Trophy, but at this stage, you know, the question answers itself. How important is the FA Trophy to City and Liverpool? I mean, it's the only show in town, isn't it?
Exactly. It's massive for us. And, you know, we had a chat with the lads. I had a chat with the lads on Wednesday night and just said, look, you know, we need to play the game like it's our last game because it could be. For a while, no one knows when we're going to come back. So the fact that we've got a game to prepare for is really, really good. So, as I say, we're concentrating on that on Tuesday night. We go into it as underdogs. Buxton are really, really good. You know, we've got quite a lot of info on them. You know, a few of their players. So, listen, we're no under illusions how tough the task's going to be. But, like I said, the pressure's all on them. We'll go there. We'll have a go. And, like I said, we played a team from higher opposition in the last round and probably one of our best performances, if not the best performance since we've been involved, since we took it back over. So, yeah, it's one we're looking forward to, but just to be able to play a game, I think we're in a bit of a lucky position at the moment. A lot of clubs having friendlies at the minute, so, you know, we just want to play football.
And with that regard, you know, you mentioned about the work that you've done to prepare for this game as coaching staff and that kind of thing. You had this added thing, didn't you, of the players having to come back from a bit of a break as well. So how difficult has that challenge been of training, getting people back up to match sharpness and being tactically astute as well for preparing for Tuesday?
It's really tough because, you know, we're planning for the Dunfermline game originally, so obviously you plan differently for different sides. You know, they're going to give us different problems, both teams. So we sort of didn't know, so we sort of had to plan for both. The lads have been doing their own stuff. Look, we've been sending them programmes on a Tuesday and a Thursday, so they've been excellent, to be fair. But there's only so much fitness and running you can do, and ultimately the real work starts when you can get on the pitch, and we've only been able to do that once, which is Wednesday night in a friendly against Bearscott. When you can see, like I said before, the lads are really, really rusty. So it's been tough, but like I said, the only thing that we can say is it's been tough for everybody. So we plan the best we can. The lads are fit. We'll be training tomorrow and we'll just, you know, we'll work on shape and what we'll do on the day on Tuesday night, and hopefully the lads take it on board, and that's all we can do, really.
And fingers crossed as well, because obviously you're in Tier 2, so fingers crossed if you do beat Buxton, a home draw would be nice, wouldn't it, I suppose?
We've had one home game against Trafford, and, you know, like I said before that, I think before we come, the club had to play the games away from home, because of obviously the restrictions Liverpool were in. So it'd be nice to see fans back at the grounds, and, you know, it does make a difference, fans are behind you and cheering the team on. So hopefully, you know, fingers crossed that, you know, if we do manage to get through, which again is a tall order, I'd be delighted with a home draw, certainly would.
Michael Ellison there, manager of City of Liverpool, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. Simo is still with us. Simo, is there a chance of an upset here in Derbyshire on Saturday? On Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Ben. It's 2020. Oh. We don't play football on Saturdays anymore. Right. Oh. Go.
City Liverpool might have gone for a lovely weekend like you do in Buxton. But yeah, I think there's a chance. Obviously, it's early in Michael Ellison's tenure at City Liverpool, and there is lots of change, lots of flux. He's getting his own guys in, assessing the guys that were there previously. Really kind of good signs before the pause, because they knocked out Atherton Coles, didn't they? Really impressive win in the previous round. So that will have given them a massive lift. The only thing you would say, and similar to Baseford, Buxton, after again a bit of an iffy start, a bit of an iggledy-piggledy start, had started to kind of get their act together and run four of the previous five in the Premier Division before the season was suspended. So kind of they also had started to find their feet, scoring loads of goals, which we did kind of expect them to do once they started to click. So they're definitely favourites, but I think City Liverpool are a different proposition now than they were in September, for example. So I think it'll be close.
Also playing on Tuesday night, from a Derbyshire perspective, will be Matlock Town. They'll be travelling to Coalhill Town.
Another Southern Premier Central side, about halfway up the table in that division. Matlock quietly been doing very well. I know you did speak to Philo as well shortly before the pause, and they just started quite quietly to amass points. Other teams in Derbyshire had got attention. We'll talk about one shortly in Mickleover, and obviously we've been talking about Buxton, so maybe not had the attention they deserved for the improvements that they were making. So I do make them favourites. They were in good form, and he seems to have quietly assembled quite a tidy team there at Matlock. So they want to keep an eye on anyway when the season resumes properly.
How important is this game to Grantham Town? Grantham Town taking on St Ives Town. You just feel like they just need a kick at the minute, Grantham, and this could be that kick.
And they kind of got that. They did win, obviously, in the previous stage. They have played in the trophy previously this season. So that was a big moment for them, because they've still not got maximum points in a Premier Division fixture yet this season. And I've got to be honest, that is quite shocking to me, in that, you know, I've always been a big advocate for Martin McIntosh. He's done a brilliant job with clubs he's been at previously in this league. Had made some, on paper, really good signings over the summer. Grantham had boosted the budget to support him, and it's just not happened yet. I don't think we're kind of at panic stations. I think because of the circumstances we're in the season, you have to give everybody a little bit of slack, I think. But yeah, they'll be looking at this and going, we've had a month off from a really tough couple of months before that. Let's try and kickstart it with a victory. Got home advantage again against another Southern Premier Central team who are again about halfway in the table. So Grantham will probably fancy it, and I reckon they'll do it. I think they'll get through.
Now, one of the stories of the season thus far, the first part of the season anyway, is Mickleova, as you rightly said earlier. They're travelling to Hitchin Town. It's just a shame they've had this season suspension, because I'd be dead intrigued to know how they would have done it over this four-week period. But John McGraw will be looking to hit the ground running, I'm sure.
Definitely, and yeah, that's what I'm looking for as well. They are, sorry to everybody else, but they are the story of the season so far in the Premier Division, and won 6 from 7 league matches before the break, and also managed to squeeze in a 5-0 spanking of Deering Rangers in the previous round. So they switched nicely to the Cup. They went so close, didn't they, at St Albans in the FA Cup as well. A really great effort down there, so it won't be any fear for them to kind of hit the road again. Yeah, it wouldn't shock me. You do, and we talk a lot about momentum and things like that in football, and I do think it's important, and they will have lost that. And it'll be interesting to see if they can regain it, but they won't have lost confidence. So, I think they'll do it. I think they'll sneak through. I think they'll pick up where they left off.
One of the ties of the round, I'm going to suggest, Kidsgrove Athletic against Stamford. Kidsgrove have been belting this season.
Yes.
And the South East Division has been belting, in all fairness, as well. I mean, it's been pretty nip and tuck, hasn't it, between the top half of the table. Any one of the top 11, 12 even, you know, you go down to Frickley, I suppose, have got a chance to get themselves in and around the playoffs and the promotion spot. These two here going head-to-head is quite tasty, I'm going to suggest.
It really is. I mean, you're right, Kidsgrove had a brilliant start to the season in the league. They've had a great start in this competition. They're one of the unlucky ones that have been in since the start and have won 3 games already to get this far. They do have home advantage. That might be key. Stamford are unbeaten in the league and had a fantastic win away to Stourbridge in the last round. So they'll be feeling really good as well going into this game. They haven't met in the league yet, so there's no kind of guide there. But two of the better teams, like you say, in the South East Division, and arguably might even be the pick of the games we're going to preview today. I really think it's one to look forward to.
Next up, Marsh United against Warrington Town, and a good opportunity to welcome back Cal Jarrett to the show, and I caught up with Cal on Friday afternoon. Well, Cal, a big thank you for joining us, and before we get to the first round of the FA Trophy, let's talk about the last round, and it pains me to say this, but a big congratulations for that sterling performance against FC United many moons ago. I mean, what was that afternoon like for yourself?
The game itself was a good game, really. There was just under 600 fans were allowed in at the time to watch the game as well. So it was the first time I've been to their ground. It's very impressive, to be fair. Everything was set out right, very professional. And we had a good day. Obviously, the result helped us massively on the day, and the way we won it as well. I actually thought we played really well against them. They were a good team. They started off well. They took the lead. And then obviously we got an equaliser, and then we went in front, and then we conceded at the end in about the 80-odd minute, and then got the winner. Louis Maloney scored a screamer about 92nd minute. So to get that, I think it was the last kick of the game, to get the win in there showed us sort of where we are, because we knew it was going to be a hard game after the Brackley game that we got beat off the North Conference club. So we went there, you know, for ourselves to sort of be a lot more disciplined as a team. And I thought our performance was fantastic, and we were over the moon with the win.
I was going to say, I mean, when you score with 5 minutes to go, you know, what you think is the winner, and then for FC United to get that last minute equaliser, you'd be forgiven, wouldn't you, for going, for kicking yourselves and letting your heads drop. But that goal from Maloney, I mean, it was an absolute peach, wasn't it? I mean, what was your take? You must have been right behind it as well.
I was right behind it, yeah. I mean, Louis had been left out as well. It was the first time I'd sort of left him out for a little change of shape in what we wanted to do. And, you know, no lads like getting left out. And obviously, Louis's been a big part of what we are, still is. And, you know, I brought him on in about the 68th minute, something like that, for Dave McTiernan, you know, and he went on and he'd done his stuff. And when it landed to him, the ball, and he was about 35 yards out, and he kept running, it opened up. And it was either he was going to play out wide to Craig Gott, who'd made a great run. Don't get me wrong, Louis is the first time. I've seen some of them hit the trees and hit the stands and go out the car park. But when he hit it and it left his foot, it was just sweet as a nut. And where it went, there was no keeper saving that, really. So I was over the moon for the kid.
And then, done. No games then for a whole... how long has it been? It's been a month and a half now, hasn't it?
Yeah, a month and a bit, yeah.
So you left the league campaign in just outside the playoffs, having only played 5 games this season in the league.
Yeah.
Through to the first round, hosting Warrington. How's lockdown been? And have you been keeping everyone at it?
We've most probably, like most clubs at this level, I don't think they can just say, right, lads, we'll see you in a month. I think everyone's in the same boat. Everyone's frustrated. Everyone I listen to, everyone I've spoke to, managers, players, everyone's just frustrated with everything that's going on in life, really. But, you know, we just have to get on with it and try and knuckle down, just do the right things, be professional as we can while we're not there. We've had training set out twice a week for the lads to do it by themselves. Been sending them a training plan so they can get on with it, trying to keep themselves ticking over. So then when we do come back, which we did last night, we had a training session, you know, to get the balls out as quick as we could last night for them. And we've got one tomorrow as well. So trying to prep right as good as you can is very, very hard. It's like having another pre-season, really. And a lot of clubs will say that, you know, because a month off's a long time not to be running around and the physical side of things in a game, you know, competing against someone and teams. So it's one of them where we're realistically, we're really looking forward to getting this game on the way, really, against Warrington on Tuesday.
I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, it's not just a case of getting everyone fit, but you've also got to prepare on the training pitch for Warrington as well, because I imagine you've done some homework as well during lockdown about what to expect from the visitors on Tuesday night. So that's a lot to juggle, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, we have my assistant Nicky Ward. He looks at all of the teams that we're going to come up against and does our own work for us, and we try and put it over across onto the training pitch. But like you said, it's been very hard. Everyone just coming back. Places are all chock-a-block because people are doing the same thing. You know, you're not really getting full pitches to train on. We tried to train hours last night, but obviously, I don't know where you're from, but up here it was absolutely pouring down all night yesterday, all day yesterday. So it was near enough underwater again, you know, because that much rain, it's never stopped today. So we found it hard, you know. We've had a 7-a-side pitch really to try and train on, but we were grateful just to get out there and do some training with the lads, really. So we know what we're expecting against Warrington. We know we've done lots of homework. It helps when I've had Dave McTiernan in there, who's played against them last season himself, so he knows a lot about them. And we've got a few players that have played against them as well last year. So, you know, bits and bobs, we watch videos as you do. And you just try and prep as good as you can. And they'll be doing the same to us. They've never come across us in any league or any cup. So this is the first time we've come across them. But I expect them to be a good team because they actually started off really well.
And as you touched upon, you know, it's I think we spoke a while ago, didn't it, before the Brackley game, and we were saying how it's a shame it's not going to be at Marsh United, because obviously your home form's pretty impressive, isn't it? So forgive my ignorance, are you still in tier two or are you in tier three now?
No, we're in tier three. Tier three, so it'd be no fans at home on Tuesday night for us, so which is a shame.
How does that impact you, do you think, and how your team's going to perform on the night?
I think the lads do actually go out and, you know, as a professional unit, to try and sort themselves out and make sure that the attitude's right, the mentality side of things right. But I do believe that, you know, when fans aren't there, there is something missing in the grounds. And every manager will tell you this, you know, there'll be a lot of tier two teams that are over the moon that if they're getting crowds in. So they are a big miss, obviously, especially night games, you know, cup games at home. They really get the players going, you know, 300-400 people in Mask United in the GAA Stadium is fantastic for the lads, you know. And not just even that, it would have been great for Warrington fans, because I know that they have good followers and stuff like that. It would have been a massive plus for everyone, really. But it's another one we just got to take on the chin until we get through this. I couldn't speak long enough tonight to get into all of that because it's just we don't know what's going on.
Yeah, and obviously as well because there's going to be no league games after this for at least a fortnight.
Yeah.
This is the only show in town really. So
I
win and your season carries on essentially. It's a weird.
It's weird. I spoke to the lads last night training. Spoke about it. You know, this is the thing that's keeping us alive at the present minute. The FA Trophy, which, you know, no disrespect to the FA Trophy, we ain't going to win that FA Trophy to get right. We don't have to look at the draw and, you know, there's some excellent teams in it to get all the way through to Wembley. It's something that, you know, my prime example is to try and get promoted this year in the league, you know, but, why this cup game's on and why it's the only thing we can go for, as in, like, trying to keep games and trying to keep the lads ticking over. We win this, like you said, Ben, and we go on to next Tuesday, the next game, you know, and depending on what the draw is. But if we won that game, it's a Saturday. So there's three games there, realistically, you've got to look at within a fortnight that can keep you ticking over, hopefully for everyone to go into Tier 2 to start the league again. That's fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed indeed. And obviously, because it's the NPL show, I can't wish you more luck than Warrington Town. But, Carl, a big thank you for taking the time out of your busy evening to come on the show. Really appreciate it. And all the best on Tuesday night.
No worries, anytime.
Carl Jarrett there, manager of Marsh United, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. Simo, tough one this one for Warrington, I'm going to suggest. Very tough.
Yeah. I was saying before whether Sam Shields might have groaned at drawing Ashton, but I'll tell you what, Warrington definitely will have groaned when they saw who they'd been paired with in the draw, particularly with them travelling away. I mean, Mask had a great win in the last round against FC United, but you know, they've done well in the knockout competitions generally, because of course they also eliminated Blythe in the FA Cup before eventually succumbing to Brackley. So had a brilliant FA Cup run this season. It also means they've got hardly any league form for me to assess what might happen here. Warrington, a little bit of a funny one. We kind of expressed one or two concerns about, you know, they've been a little bit up and down before the pause. They'd lost to FC United and Lancaster in the league, but then did get revenge on Lancaster to knock them out, albeit after a penalty shootout in the FA Trophy. So it'll be interesting to see what we get from Warrington, but sadly for them, it is a nightmare draw. Actually, it's really, really, really tough for them on Tuesday.
Next up, then Nantwich Town. Speaking of Cheshire, Nantwich Town taking on Workington. Ooh, tough one this, because Workington, before lockdown, were starting to motor a bit.
They really were. They've won 7 games in a row in all competitions. I mean, let's have it right. Without Null and Void, they'd be back in the Premier Division, I would venture to say. So, one of the more difficult draws that Nantwich could have got. Poor old Dabbers have had a long time, haven't they, to stew on that 4-0 defeat against Micklover. They'll want to maybe channel some kind of lingering fury from that into this game. It did come a little bit from nowhere. I know they've not properly hit the straps yet this season, but there's nothing to be concerned about. It's still a very, very capable side. And actually, they had a really good win at Redditch to reach this stage. So one good win already in this competition. But yeah, they will, what's the managerial cliche? They will need to be at it on Tuesday or they will get knocked down.
There we go. Runcorn Linnets are our next club to look at. They're hosting Morpeth Town of the NPL Premier Division on Tuesday night. And for more on this, on Friday afternoon, I caught up with the manager at the Linnets. It's a welcome back to the show to Callum McIntyre. Well, Callum, a big thank you for joining us. Just before we get to Tuesday night's match against Morpeth in the FA Trophy, just a quick catch-up about how lockdown's been for yourself and Runcorn. How's it been?
Challenging. I think it was a really strange one in that certainly the way I like to be is I like to feel like I'm planning and always sort of trying to move forwards and progress things. And I think what the 4-week pause, the initial pause did was you just feel a little bit pointless. There's no games to go and watch. There's no training to plan. There's no selection headaches ahead of the weekend. So it just, you feel really, really redundant. And I think if anything makes you appreciate even more the sense of what you get when you're involved at the level that we are. So it was frustrating, but equally it was nice to be back in with the lads on Thursday evening and at least have something to plan for, you know, ahead of the trophy game. But I don't think anyone has any real clarity as to what happens beyond that.
No, and how challenging is this? Because I'm assuming as a manager you'd like some kind of clarity before we get to Tuesday night's FA Trophy game, just to assess, you know, what happens next with training after that, I suppose.
it's challenging. And look, I've got loads of sympathy for the leagues, because ultimately they've got to do what they believe is right for the member clubs, and equally the member clubs have got to do what's right for themselves, but also for the wider community within the league. I just think it's desperately important that we return to playing for a whole multitude of reasons. I think there are real concerns that if a league isn't able to complete, in the worst case scenario, two seasons on the bounce, I think people start to lose respect for that level of football. I think it can have real implications on the integrity of the tiers above, and potentially if there's obviously no promotions and so forth. I think it's one of those that something's got to happen. But I feel for the players, whether they are the financial implications of non-contract footballers not getting paid at this moment in time, or whether they are the implications of younger players that have maybe stepped into this level of football that are ultimately they're not playing, and they will soon have to make decisions to ensure that they're out playing, to be able to, like you say, progress their careers. Because you've got, particularly at this level, a lot of lads aged 18 to 22 that aren't playing. And look, that's going to damage their future prospects, in my opinion. Mm.
And I always ask managers the cliche question at this time. I mean, how important is the FA Trophy to your plans? But it's got more resonance at that question now as we head towards this week.
I always think the cup competitions are important. And I know when we've spoken previously, I've sort of reiterated that. I think for clubs, for the financial benefits, I think you've seen the publicity and the exposure and the adventure of a cup run, certainly that Marine have enjoyed in the FA Cup. I had it hammered home to me early doors that the FA Trophy is very important to Runcorn Linnets because of the history that Runcorn FC have in the cup competition. So we've had a real go at the cups and we've shown them loads of respect. Given what's going on in the wider context, the FA Trophy is currently consuming my life. I wake up in the morning and I think about Morpeth Town, and I go to bed at night and I think about Morpeth Town and a fixture on Tuesday night. For us, with no competitive games on the horizon during this paused period, if we want to maintain competitive fixtures week after week, we need to win on Tuesday night to be in the hat for the next round the following Tuesday. We then need to win again to obviously be in the following round on a Saturday. The games are going to come thick and fast. But equally, the financial situation at clubs at our level, who everyone thinks that all the bills go away during the four-week period, somebody's still got to have the heating on. Somebody's still got to pay the bills, do you know what I mean? The things that are fixed costs. So I think the importance of the FA Trophy, it feels on Tuesday night like as big a game as I've been involved in, and I'll be looking to play my part to ensure that we've got Runcorn Linnets into the next round come Wednesday morning.
And when it comes to, you know, your plans and that kind of thing, I mean, Runcorn Linnets before lockdown, for those unaware, I mean, totally unbeaten in the league, you know, a good trophy run that you're on as well. With regards to preparations for Morpeth, you're both in the same boat. You both had some time off from the training pitch. So how do you prepare for this game?
Look, we prepare for every game the same way, whether that's the first time I walked through the door for Albion Sports, a Step 5 club that we play in the FA Cup, the first game that I was involved in, or whether it was our last game, which was obviously Kickerin aside at the same level as us in the last round of trophy. We're the underdogs. I relish that because I've been an underdog all my life in every role I've had in football. So I enjoy that. I enjoy that feeling of no one will give us a chance. Morpeth are in the division above and they're big hitters and they're well respecting the level above. But they've got to come to Little Runcorn Linnets and they've got to try and put us on the back foot. I think we will have a game plan and we will do a lot of work on Morpeth, as much work as you can, because like you say, it almost feels like the opening day of the season again. But I know we've got a strong enough group to pull an upset out of the bag on Tuesday night and then do that time and time again. So my emphasis will be on preparing my players to be at their best, because I know that when we're at our best, we'll compete with anyone. But to do that, things have got to go in our favour. We've got to have 11 players at their best. We've got to have a clear game plan, and we're going to need our supporters right behind us. But there's a feeling of excitement and an acknowledgement of how important the game is for us on Tuesday evening.
And forgive my ignorance, because I mean, I was in tier 2, I'm now in tier 3, and I can't keep up with everything that's going on. You will have a fan base there on Tuesday night.
Yeah, so it's been remarkable, to be fair, the Holton scenario, which is the local area in Runcorn, that the spike in cases in Merseyside happened a lot earlier. So obviously when the country was plunged into lockdown, the Merseyside area, in a way, to some extent, was on the way out of what had gone on. So Holton's got one of the lowest infection rates in the country at the moment, outside the top 100. So we're in tier 2. So we will be so excited to welcome our supporters back. The situation we've had is that we've had to reverse games at times when we were in tier 3 previously. And obviously, I think the new rules now, you can have crowds in at Tier 2 as long as everyone brings their passport, does a backflip on the way in, walks backwards around the stadium, sidesteps around corner flags, watches the game with one eye closed and a face mask on. I think that's what I read on the latest sort of guidance from central government. Yeah, something to that effect. But for us, I'll be honest, Ben, we've not had the home games that we want. We've only been able to play the two league games at home, Clitheroe and Tadcaster, in the one FA Cup game. I just can't wait for our home supporters to ultimately see what we've done on the road, but have the opportunity to get right behind us and us give them a performance that their support deserves.
Callum McIntyre there, manager of Runcorn Linnets, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. What are the chances then for Runcorn Linnets on Tuesday?
Good chances. Unbeaten so far in the league this season. And do you know what? I'm really, really pleased for Callum because, he's got a very difficult act to follow in Michael Ellison. It wasn't a universally popular decision when the club decided with him to part ways in the summer. So kind of Callum came into a little bit of, we're not sure about this guy. Very, very popular guy also, Ello was at Linnets. And he's done great.
He's impressive as well, I have to say, when you speak to him.
Yeah, absolutely. Very capable guy. Good signings because there's been a lot of turnover in the playing staff. We mentioned Marine earlier in the show. Marine needed a penalty shootout to beat Linnets in the FA Cup, by the way. One of the closest games they've had to get as far as they have. And they come up against a Morpeth team that, I say about Nantwich and one or two others in the Premier League, you've not really managed to gather any momentum yet. That isn't necessarily Morpeth's fault. They're another one who had an enforced pause because of a positive COVID test. They were just slightly encouraging signs before the suspension of the season. They knocked Whitby out in this competition, and they also turned over and admittedly out of sorts Bamber Bridge in the league. But that was a big win for them. They wanted to get some points on the board. Obviously, we need to remember, a little bit like Callum McIntyre, that Stephen Turnbull is finding his way as a manager this season, and he's going to need a little bit of time. Morpeth remain stacked with quality. There is no question about that. But Linnets is a really, really tough draw for them, and it wouldn't shock me if Linnets did it on Tuesday. There you go.
Breaking news. We did start this preview many moons ago. Do you remember the start of this interview, Simo? It was ages ago, wasn't it? We were talking about, season suspension. I'm in Manchester. It is snowing, everyone outside. Snowing. Yeah,
so, well, that would just be the law of
stuff. So yeah. just a big disclaimer for Tuesday night's games. Look outside your window. Oh, I've not said that all year. Yes. That means football's almost back properly, isn't it?
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And finally, we're in Albion against Bamber Bridge. Almost by magic, we're saving the best to last for Simo. Simo, what's your thoughts on this one for Tuesday?
Well, Witten are one of the, we've had a sprinkling of clubs, haven't we? We've mentioned today we were gutted that the season was paused when it was, because they were, like the Basefords, like the Buxtons, really in a good vein of form, had won four successive games in the league and were looking very good indeed after a little bit of a ropey start. They'll go into this game as favourites still. Bamber Bridge are having a rough old time of it, aren't they? They've lost seven straight games in the Premier League, so probably glad to turn their attention to something else. That said, really good win against Radcliffe at the previous stage to get this far. So that will have given them a huge, huge lift. Witten just need to be wary of that. But like a lot of the others that were motoring, what I'll be looking for Tuesday is how easy that will be to pick back up after one training session, or maybe some clubs will be training tomorrow. Witten have actually organised a friendly, I suspect one or two others will. It's still not really enough, I think, to go into a game as big as this. But someone did make the point to me quite fairly that everyone is in the same boat. So no one's got an advantage necessarily from there being such a short turnaround. So, yeah, Witten favourites. But Bamber Bridge nearly turned them over in the league at Winchin Park last season. So they have had a warning already historically. So let's see what happens.
Well, Simo, I think that was a job well done, considering you didn't have much to cling on to for the last month. I think you did well there. just to say, I'm assuming you're going to be there on Tuesday.
Yes, I will, yeah. I'll be there Tuesday to get a little tiny football fix before we all have to wait again.
just before you go, just a quick plug for your Twitter feed and the great work you do covering non-league football in Cheshire and beyond. How can people follow you?
@Simo_on_sport.
Well, Simo, a big thank you for joining us. Wrap up warm. I don't know if I told you this, but it's snowing outside. So wrap up warm. Christmas is nearly here. And we'll catch up very soon, my friend.
Thanks, mate. Thanks, Paul.
And a big thank you to Andrew Simpson for joining me this week on the Pitching In NPL show. A big good luck to everyone in first round action of the FA Trophy on Tuesday evening. A big thank you as well to all my guests this week for joining me. And a big thank you to you too, dear listener, for tuning in. Remember, you can keep up to date with all the latest goings on from the world of the Northern Premier League by visiting the website www.thempl.co.uk. But I've been Ben, and you make sure that you all have a lovely and safe weekend. And you'll be hearing from us again next week. Bye-bye.